Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramarte Feo on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. If you're in the, well, in the United States, it's evening, Wednesday, the 21st of May. And here in Illinois, it's been a glorious day with threats of showers, but so far none. I'm just, you know, like always, we'll take what we get. A couple things I wanted to mention today. This coming... Well, it's in what, about 4 weeks, 3.5 weeks from now. There is a strikeclimatechange.org. You can go there. This originated with the Socialist Party USA. It's a one-day boycott of fossil fuels and factory farming. So this is one of those things. It's on a Tuesday to just maybe... make people understand more the what we have put on as a necessity to use fossil fuels when, you know, this is not the way it needs to be. And even now, we don't need to be using as many as we are. So if you go to strikeclimatechange.org, you can find out more about it. This is something that's becoming more and more relevant to, well, life on this planet. There were a couple other things I wanted to mention. We talk about simplicity quite a bit here. And I just wanted to say, I may have mentioned before, but I want to reiterate this because I'm going through it right now. Spices and herbs, you know, they do have a shelf life. It's not that they go bad because they really don't, but they lose their potency. And I used to think, oh, you know, buy them in the large size, you know, this is the deal, the bargain. Well, that's fine if you're going to use it within a certain length of time. But if you aren't going to use it within 6 months to a year, don't get the large size. Go ahead, get the small one, because you're just going to throw out the other one anyway, or use more of it, which isn't the same. I mean, you can always use more of something to try to up the potency, but it's not quite the same. So I've been... finding a couple different things that are just going to the compost, which, you know, at least I'm not throwing them in the trash, but I'm making a conscious effort. There's a couple things. Yes, I'll buy large bags or larger bags. Turmeric's one because, you know, I use it with the coconut oil to brush my teeth. I use it in some kind of food or drink every day. And so it's one of those that, for me, buying a larger size is practical because I will use it. But just think about this. You know, we want to be frugal, make your money count. You know, don't spend money just because you see a sale. And that goes for fresh fruits and vegetables, please. You know, I'm saying eat them, eat them, eat them. But don't buy a bunch if you don't think you're going to be able to eat it while it's still good, or if you're not going to be able to freeze it or dry it or can it or something or share with someone, because there's plenty of things that end up in our compost anyway. We don't need to be buying and wasting food for the compost. Speaking of food, I thought this was pretty cool. We need something like this in the United States. The weekend, the 28th through the 31st of May, is the 21st European Congress on Obesity. This will be in Sofia, Bulgaria. And I hope that they have meal plans, you know, like catered around plant-based meals, things like this, because I recently saw that some nutrition group in the United States had a convention or a conference or something. And it was catered by McDonald's. Of all the ironical things, nutrition and McDonald's, you know, that was just disgusting. So, I mean, what can you expect from an organization that talks nutrition but yet has McDonald's cater for them? That was just too much. I don't think we've talked about this before here, but I'm one of those people that understands domestic violence because years ago, with separate people, I did learn afterwards, but I was one of those young women that was beat up on. And so I guess that anytime I hear about domestic violence, I practically break out in a rash. Yesterday I found out online that one of my she's one of my favorite YouTubers. I just admire this young woman so much. She's 31, has three kids that she's raising. I started watching because somebody said, oh, she's a vegan. You know, see what she's cooking. And then I started watching. She's a seamstress. She's very creative. She has ideas and would make clothes that you wouldn't think would work. And she also had an online fabric store, sewing store. Well, yesterday I found out that the 14th of this month, she was murdered by an ex-boyfriend. And for some reason, that set me back, I have to admit, because this was just one of those absolutely ridiculous things that should not have happened. She was at home with her kids. She was sleeping in her room. And he came in the house and he went in her bedroom and he shot her. Her cousin was staying there and she was sleeping on the couch and she said she did not hear it. So I guess when she got up, she went in to get her cousin up and saw she was there dead. Turns out that about 5 hours after the murder, the ex-boyfriend turned himself in. But I don't know what... You know, here's the thing. They said that she'd been getting threats from him and phone calls, and her family says that he was just obsessed with her. And, you know, in this country, we have this thing that you can't do anything to that person until they, like, make the attempt on your life. When it comes to stalking, it's a very hard thing. And I don't know. Her family knew about it. I don't know if she had gone to the police before or not. But now, this is just another one of our good lights. This person was always seemingly happy on the show. She loved what she was doing, and she loved her kids because they would wander through sometimes. And it just seems like such a waste. So if you know anyone who is, and she had already, you know, left him. They were not living together. But if you know anyone who is living with someone and they're being abused, or even if they aren't, try to get them to, if they're living with this person, it doesn't get better. Give them all the support. Tell them about the organizations they can go to for help. It just won't get better. Maybe one out of 3,000 times it might. That's not odds to stake your life on. And that's what you're doing. When you stay in a relationship like this or encourage a friend, a sister, a mother, a daughter to stay in it, you're contributing to their possible death, and at least you're contributing to unhappiness for them. So please, please try to get them out of the situation, get them to report it. It will make a difference, truthfully. I think now we're going to have Justin Furutta with us, and at 7:30, well, 30 minutes, Sarit Jacobson will be here and viewing the world. So right now, let us go to Portland, Oregon. Hello, Justin.
Hi, Dan. How are you today?
I am great. It's a lovely day in Illinois. I keep waiting for the rain. But I don't know. We'll see. But you're in Portland, Oregon, right?
Yes, and the weather is very nice here as well.
It's very nice there. I lived in Milwaukee, which is sort of a suburb of Portland, and it was amazing in the the summer, every afternoon it rained. And it just, you know, just for a few minutes, like when I lived in Florida, made everything look so lush. It looked like everybody's yard was landscaped. I mean, even the people that didn't do anything with their yard, it was just lush. It was lovely. So you have a page on Facebook. It's called United Earth. And this is pretty much a proposal for people living in harmony and unity. And I wondered, what got you interested in this type of thing, Justin?
Well, I've been following all of these movements that are out there forming and that have been out there for a while. And I just noticed that they're all very similar in their goals. They have very similar news, day by day, month by month, have very similar values, and I agree with a lot of what these different various groups are proposing. They are different grassroots organizations that are working to basically restore the environment, restore equality throughout our society, change a lot of the mistakes, I guess you could call them, or I guess inefficiencies.
Mistakes, definitely mistakes, yeah.
That are currently harming all of us, just as contributors and participants in the system. So, yeah, I noticed that I had never heard of any of these groups, not until I really started reading a lot on my own and researching and going online and exploring. And that's an indication to me that the message, although a lot of good work is being done, I think it could be a lot stronger if they were working as one voice, as one coordinated group. I think they would be able to accomplish more, to reach more people. And I wasn't sure that anyone else had really thought of that or mentioned that. I hadn't heard it suggested anywhere else. And on top of that, I had been thinking on my own about what works, what allows certain organizations, certain groups, certain missions to succeed and others to not. And I, on the side, at the same time, had been thinking that if we really wanted a system that would work long-term for everyone, that everyone would be happy with, that, and that would therefore last a long time, we would need something that was publicly owned equally by everyone. Something that belongs to everyone with no single individual or group at the top making the decision. It's got to be something that's truly unity-based, which is the inspiration for the name, United Earth. And there are other values as well, such as freedom and self-responsibility, as I write in the documents, that I think are key to creating a sustainable and lasting organizing model. But mainly the equality value is something that I don't see out there.
Right. We're in a very class-oriented society here in the United States, anyway. And there's, you know what you're saying, that talking about people uniting, you can do more. And I think Occupy and a lot of other things like that prove that you can do more with, if people have an umbrella under which the different causes and all unite. And I know that on the left, particularly with socialism, but just far lefties, there's so much that is ego-driven. I mean, everybody says what you're just saying, you know, that, well, if we would just get together, we could do so much. So true. But there's a lot of ego-driven people and organizations, and so people consequently don't want to work with them. So it's people have to leave their ego at the door pretty much and really want to unify with others. So what you have, what would you call this? It's not a party. Are you calling it an organization?
I call it a group. It's not a registered organization, so I'm reluctant to use that term right now. I would mainly call it a description of the attributes that I believe create a functional union. Like you mentioned, a lot of organizations, ego is a strong part of all of us, and I totally agree. That's one of the main reasons I made this, because, like you said, we need to find something that everyone can agree on, that everyone would want to be a part of. And I think a large part of that is having something that belongs to everyone equally and not anyone in particular.
Well, right. So that's more of like a real democracy, where everyone has a vote. This is what, like, true socialism is. And you don't have the hierarchy, the elites, telling everybody how they're going to live and making a profit off of them. So the foundational values on the page, it says unity, freedom and self-responsibility, equality, and dedication. And I think that the self-responsibility, that is a big one, because it seems so much in this country anyway, people have been dumbed down to the point where, you know, they're going to blame the government, they're going to blame their neighbor, they're going to blame someone, because this is the examples we have. We blame other people instead of taking responsibility for ourselves. And how would you suggest that people get by that? How do we start to get people to take responsibility for their own actions, Justin?
I think perhaps the idea of a central ruling power, a government that takes care of the people, is not the best one. I think in the natural order of things, what works is what naturally prevails, and people are unnaturally drawn towards whatever is the set of values that create happiness and harmony.
Which usually would be spending time with family, spending time with friends, having the time to pursue your art, whether you're a media artist, a musician, whatever, like that. We know capitalism doesn't work, because here we are in this horrible situation in this country. So it seems that people, because I talk to people around the world, everybody wants a place to live, food, shelter. They want their kids to be able to have an education and not be bombed, not be spied on. I mean, it seems like everybody basically wants the same thing. Have you found that?
Yeah. We are all, you know, creatures with the same motivation, so it doesn't surprise me one bit.
Right. We have a lot of the same values. But we've been taught culturally and politically maybe to seek false values, or to go after things that aren't really important, like another car or a bigger house or something. You know, those things are really not important, and they're even less important when you find out that people have to work harder to pay for them, and then they don't even have any time to enjoy them. You know, those are like false values. It seems that family and friends, and like I said, I mean, being able to have the time to make your own life, do what you want, it seems like that would be high, and people like that idea, but they don't know how they can accomplish it. So with this group, are you thinking about, like, maybe, say, a couple of years down the road, having a convention or a conference or something, like in Portland or someplace else, where people actually get together live?
I'm definitely willing to do whatever it takes to make it happen for real. It's not just a casual idea for me. If people support it, if people are interested in it, then I'm willing to take it as far as it can go.
Well, right, but, you know, sometimes, like, you have to step out and then organize something so people can get involved. So that's kind of, you know, if you're thinking about doing something, or, you know, having many conferences, many groups, like not necessarily Google Plus, but that kind of a thing where you can talk to several people at once, like conference calls online, things like that.
To tell you the truth, my original idea was to propose it to these various groups that I hope to see succeed, and if they were interested, then hopefully just pass the idea on to them and let them create it and work on it together.
That's a good idea, but so here I'm being the devil's advocate here. I wouldn't put too much hope on that, because those groups are already started, and they might, you know, support you, but they've already got their group going. And some of them have, you know, maybe thousands of members, and they're not going to just say, okay, well, we're going to drop this group and join up, unless you actually have, like, something to join, you know?
Because I don't imagine it as dropping one group and leaving another. I feel like it would ideally be more like an association, which would help to bring different groups together, and they could still keep everything. They're doing the same. They would just have a foundation to work together and speak as one voice, as one power.
Well, I'm sure that they have the larger groups. They all have, like, their list of core values and things, and so I'm sure that some of them will overlap with yours. And then they'll have some that you don't have, and you'll have some that they don't have. So that would be a good way, maybe everybody could incorporate some of these. And explain about dedication. Would you explain that to me? One of the foundational values?
Sure. I think that once you remove the idea of some outside force forcing you to do something, to live your life in a certain way, to go to school, to work, to basically do what it tells you to, then there is the danger of laziness or non-action, not moving forward, not working anymore. So I think it's necessary, if we want to remove imposition, if we want to remove outside restrictions, then we have to also add in the value of dedication that will motivate people, that will remind people that we are responsible for ourselves now. And if we don't take care of the daily work, then it's not going to get done.
Right. So the question would be people who are committed to, like, making this work, rather than making some government agency work. which sounds really pretty good. Yeah. I'm just reading. You had mentioned some very large organizations like United Nations and the European Union, which really sucks, and the UK, that size and things like that have allowed them to accomplish certain things and give them power. So size is important, but you know, a lot of larger organizations have just started with a person or two or three people with a great idea, and then they get the idea out there. So, you know,
I agree. I think efficiency is perhaps the most important one, and maybe size will come after, but for sure quality is what will take something far, and quantity is what follows afterward.
Yeah, it's, and, you know, if people don't have an ulterior motive, if their motive is to actually enjoy each other, enjoy the planet without doing any harm to it, all of these things, if they are unified on that, so much of will fall into place. People won't want to make war on each other and murder each other. They won't want to murder animals. They won't want to tear up the rainforest. All of that, because it's all connected. So,
I agree.
It's the big picture of how the Earth could be. So what is your next step, next move?
My next move for now, I'm going to keep on posting on the Facebook page, going to keep on sharing the idea with groups that I think would be interested. I don't necessarily expect it to work or it to become a reality. I hope it would, but I'm just going to let it grow and see what happens on its own.
Well, you know, few things really happen on their own. They need some help. You might, this is just a suggestion, but you or somebody in your group might want to start blogging about this. As you know, that something that also.
That is a great suggestion. Actually, I have been contacting, there are other people with similar ideas out there, and I am contacting as many of them as possible so that, again, since we're all doing such similar things, we can definitely be more effective.
Exactly. And sharing, and that's what I like about this. You just wrote everything out there. You're not trying to say, well, okay, This is my baby, and I'm not sharing it with anyone, because you most definitely are sharing, and I think that's very important. It's not going to work if you don't. So it's a good idea, and your foundational core values are excellent, Dustin. So I want to urge people, and we will put this Facebook page on Aramartefio radio page also, but it's just called United Earth on Facebook. And, you know, go on the air, you can post, you can ask questions, or you could just friend Justin. Last name is F-U-R-U-T-A, and he's a very friendly guy. Yes, you are.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd definitely be happy to. I welcome any messages, any suggestions. Please contact me.
Yeah, because that's a good idea. And it's just, I like to hear somebody who's not anti-everything, but who's actually trying to guide people and ideas. So I think that's such a worthy cause. It's just really good. So I thank you for coming on, Justin.
Thank you for having me, Ruthann. It's my pleasure.
Okay. Well, have a good holiday this coming weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You as well.
Yeah, we'll do. I'm going to be doing some camping. So it's one of my favorite things in the world to do. So it'll be good.
Lucky you.
Well, you know what? I'll dance around the fire. And thank you. How's that? Yeah, Justin. Okay. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Dad.
And now, Miss Sarit. Hi, Sarit.
Hi. How are you all?
A little warm. You know, it's summer's coming. I guess we're going to do like we have been doing, having three scattered weeks of spring and then into summer. So, there we go. So, tell me how you are and what kind of news you have for us. Do you have bad news? Do you have good news?
Very bad. Very, very. I'm horrified as I'm reading this.
Really?
I feel it hurts very much. I want to scream. And I want the whole world to hear, and I wish the whole world could hear what is really happening there beyond the smokescreen and the lies and the censorship of the media. What is happening in Israel right now is exactly... right now, if we don't stop them, it's going to be a Burma.
Oh, God.
You know the Burma massacre, how they burned millions of people? Well, this is about to happen in Palestine right now. It's already starting. I am very upset right now because my buddy Amnon sent me an article in Hebrew that I'm going to talk about. It's called We Will Throw You All Into the Ocean. There's a town called Afula in the north of Israel right by the Kinneret, which is the ocean where everyone gets their water. Mm-hmm. And a girl disappeared, probably was raped and killed, and the police, with their stupidity, said they suspect... Hey, I'm on the phone. They said they suspect it is an Arab. And since they suspected it was an Arab, it caused huge riots. People rioting like crazy, calling death to the Arabs, throw them to the sea... I just saw the protest on video. It's massive. Not only that, the person who wrote the article noticed that there were some Arabs in the area where this was happening, and they were dining, having dinner in a restaurant. Apparently, the police had to rescue those two Arab diners. And he's describing how they can't even finish their food. They're shaking in fear. They can hardly drink their water. The police rescues them, and the police almost got attacked for rescuing them.
Well, out of that whole thing, I mean, I'm actually impressed that the police came to rescue them.
Me too.
I mean,
there was a lefty police officer.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, right there, I mean, that says something. But... You see, that's so irresponsible. And then I'm sure that the Israeli news is like fluffing this up to get people more agitated.
Yeah. I'm really worried, actually, after reading this. There's a lot of good going on, but mostly bad. The mainstream media is inciting hatred.
That's so irresponsible. But, you know, media around the world does that. That's just, we can't just blame the Zionist media. Because
it really horrifies me because I come from a family that's been through the same thing, and now I see them doing this again.
Yeah. When, you know, like we know how and our heart goes out, but when we actually have experienced it, or our family, or something, that was, at the beginning of the show, I talked a little bit about that young woman killed by their boyfriend. messaged you about before, because since I went through the domestic violence and the beating up and the, you know, having seen stars literally, been having my head hit, domestic violence really bothers me a lot. So I know what you're saying. When something comes up that you feel more, it's not that you care more about it, but it does something more to your heart because you know what it's like.
Yeah, almost that article should have come with a trigger warning for me. So
yeah.
Hard to read masses calling death to the Arabs, kill all lefties. I'm talking about thousands of people here.
See, but now those are the same people that would, remember, we saw the videos about them telling people to go back to Africa. And,
yeah.
And you know, there were some Israeli ladies who were married to some of these Africans, and they were just being treated dreadfully. Israel is very, very apartheid.
And very. Very, very.
I find it for you. I'll read the a friend of mine here in the United States is in California, and he's Jewish. Not from Israel, but he's Jewish, and he sends things because he's very pro-Palestinian, but he gets appalled at the things that the Jewish, that the Zionists are doing. And if I can find it, the article said, it's a YouTube, Palestine conditions are more brutal than in the south of the U.S. 50 years ago. Alice Walker, you know, the famous author, says that.
Totally.
So that thing quite a bit and is not good. The same things have been going on again this week. I saw that they injured a couple fishermen yesterday.
Oh, they always do.
Coast of Gaza, right. They had to go to the hospital. They said medium injuries. The West Bank, they've been, you know, they're not original. Well, I guess sometimes they are, but they were uprooting more almond and olive trees. And since 1967, it's estimated that the Zionists have torn up 800,000 olive trees. 800,000. Now, to me, I mean, well, trees are sacred. I love trees. And to think that somebody would just do that out of pure spite, out of hatred, out of ignorance and stupidity, that is just ridiculous. But they're really, you know, that, like you were saying, push them to the sea. That's what they want. It's just their own form of genocide, Sarit.
Absolutely. You know, there was huge crowds in the protest and a couple of Palestinian diners, and they were banging on the glass of the restaurant to scare them, screaming, "Death to the Arabs," were heard in the background. Many curses, many threats of murder were put out there. The waitresses started to block the doors. Then police came to help.
God, I would be terrified. I mean, you know, because it's the crowd, that mob mentality.
Yes, and very scary.
Yeah.
Angry mobs, wow.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that article Alice Walker wrote about the U.S. South, I think it's very similar, because that was the way that those mobs in the South reacted. You know, I mean...
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah.
Had those little girls, because we've all seen or read the articles, most of us, about when just little girls, I think there was four little girls they were going to put into a white school, little black girls, and there were...
Oh, I remember. I saw the painting.
Yeah, of people that turned up to holler horrible, horrible things to these little girls.
Ignorance is very dangerous.
It is. It makes me sick because, you know, that the same human minds that can, you know, send us into outer space, that can come up with cures for different diseases, that can come up with all these wonderful inventions, you know. And then you see other humans that just waste it on hatred.
Yeah, they're very dark.
Yeah.
They have no love.
No.
Let's see.
And just a weak mind because they've allowed themselves to be so brainwashed.
Yeah, very weak. Incredible.
Because, you know, those people, they may love their families. They may be, you know, I mean, to the best of their ability, I would say they probably don't really know how to really love. But they would consider that, yes, they love their husbands, their wives, their brothers, their sisters, their parents, their kids. But because, you know, I mean, as long as they're other Zionists. But
yeah,
but it's not love for humans. It's
not
love
for humanity, absolutely.
No, not at all. It's just like a certain class, a certain component of the human race is what they care about. So I don't know. I just feel that is worse. That is getting really scary then in the West Bank for that many people to turn out.
It was in a town called Afula.
Afula.
What happened, and not far from the West Bank at all, though.
Yeah.
It's incredibly scary because I see what's happening in Burma. I actually saw people getting massacred on YouTube. And then I asked my friends, because there was no English, what's happening? And they told me that Muslims are being killed in Burma because
right.
of the same thing like Israel, religious
yeah.
people inciting hatred towards Muslims.
Yeah, toward the Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar or Burma, whatever. That, yeah.
Now, the Palestinians are not all Muslim at all. They're only 90% Muslim, 10% Christian, and I'm sure there's a few other religions.
Sure.
They're very tolerant in Palestine of other religions. They've always been tolerant of the Jews and accepting and welcoming. So it kind of reminds me of a lot Native Americans when Americans came here and the natives helped them. When the first Zionists arrived in Palestine, I have heard reports that they have been fed and taken care of by the Palestinians.
Can you imagine? Yeah, that's a good analogy. It's true. The native people here, they welcomed and they helped feed. They taught the Europeans. I mean, they were very welcoming, you know, and well, until they were murdered and made slaves, but
Palestinians welcomed me to their home when I was a teenager all the time. Very nice people.
Sure. That's, I mean, because they still have that humanness.
They do. I have seen it.
That's, so, you know, others have lost that. They've lost the connection. If they ever actually felt it. Now, probably as children, maybe they did feel it. If they got to play together, depending on where they lived. But then when they get a certain age, you know, it's like, okay, you guys aren't playing together anymore because. But in Palestine, or in Israel, I don't know if they ever really left their kids with Palestinians. But, you know, sometimes people say, oh, they're just kids, so they can. Like in the American South, sometimes the black kids and the white kids played together as little kids. But then when they got a little age on them, the white people didn't want their kids playing with the black kids, and the black kids' parents were afraid for the kids to play with the white kids. So, you know, there's different forms.
That's why they build a fence in Israel so the people from the kids from the settlements won't play with the Palestinian kids.
Isn't that ridiculous? That
they have a hotline you can call if you hear that they are playing or they are loving each other. And it's actually, I read about it today, it was in truthout.org or something. It's funded by the Israeli government, according to Uri Blaublai, one of the great journalists from Haaretz. I trust him pretty good. He says that the organization that doesn't allow them to get married, called Lehava, is they get funds from the Israeli government.
I would believe that. Sure.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a very fascist state. Very scary. I really worry for the good Palestinian people who are so stuck there. I know the people in the West Bank are actually scared to go out of their home at night because the settlers will throw rocks at them or beat them.
Sure.
Just abuse them. I just watched a video about them using a child as a human shield the other day, 6, 7 years old. So that's still happening.
That is illegal.
Under international law?
Yes, by international law. A human shield use is illegal. And
well, that's how IDF does home incursions, because
they don't
care about international law at all.
Oh, because like with the UN, the United States is on the, you know, the board. The United States keeps Israel from being, you know, no matter how many countries vote against Israel or say, you know, they've got all these counts against them, the United States keeps them from having any kind of punishment or anything. I mean, Israel
totally.
Just, They're wide open. They just go ahead. They flaunt. Well, Mami Mahara, that was just flaunting international law. They boarded those ships when they were 60 miles out from shore. And, you know, I mean, in international waters, the United States didn't do anything. Oh, well, they were attacked when they came. Yeah, when they came on board, somebody hit them with a chair. I mean, you know, that's not exactly the same as murdering people, which is what the Israelis did. Things like that. I don't understand why the world lets them get by with it.
People are afraid to speak up, I noticed. It takes some kind of courage, because when you speak up, someone's always going to hate you.
Well, people are afraid of being called anti-Semitic, I think. That's one of those things, because it's used so much. It's like if you don't want something that Israel's doing, well, instead of people saying, "Wow, I wonder what don't you like?" They just immediately say, "Oh, well, you're anti-Semitic," and that is a
Palestinian. And then you automatically say, "But Palestinians are Semites," and make them Google it and check.
Check. I mean, there's so much more commonality.
All Arabs are Semites. Anyone who comes from Arab-speaking or Aramaic is a Semite.
Semite.
Really need to. Yeah. Not just. And some Israelis, like, are not Semites because we're from Germany.
Exactly. I was just going to ask you, do you have an idea, percentage-wise, I mean, and I hadn't asked you this before, so if you don't, it's fine, but, I mean, about the people, the Israelis in Israel, about how many do you think have come from, like, Europe?
Maybe 40% is a wild guess. Probably wrong.
Okay.
Just from my impression.
Okay.
Now, if you come from another place than Europe, you will be discriminated against in Israel very heavily.
Yes.
It's incredible that people that do not come from Europe, who come from Arabic-speaking homes in Israel, seem to be mostly right-wing.
Ah. That sort
and
of
the lefties are mostly from Europe.
Okay. Okay, you know what, though? That would make sense because Europe had, like Marx and, you know, it was this type of socialism. And
I figured it out.
Was more apt to be
it
there.
It was a Zionist plan to turn the Arab Jews against the Arab Muslim and Christian by giving them terrible education, keeping them in ghettos, separated from the Ashkenazi Jews, and they got the much worse education. They even were kept at gunpoint at some places, and they had their kids taken away from them also for experiments. Medical experiments, many never came back.
Okay.
This is a very... Israel is not what people think it is. It's a country that takes children away from Jewish parents if they just decide you're too poor to even raise your kid. It's not like the United States.
No, they do have to go through some hoops to take children away. And no, you can't just take them away and put them in some camp and experiment on them.
Yeah, exactly. But, here, at least, there's an illusion of human rights.
Right. That's
sometimes enforced, even.
Wouldn't that be horrid if... I mean, well, it's horrid any time children are taken away, but... If you've been, I mean, like, you're Jewish, you're Israeli, you think that, you know, that you're relatively safe in this democracy, ha-ha, and then you find out, I mean, they can just take your kids and put them somewhere, and maybe you'll see them and maybe you won't.
Yes, and they do it all the time. I see in the Israeli groups when I share things about Palestine, there's certain people that share about the missing kids, and every day kids go missing for the stupidest reasons. Not
like what, Sarit? What kind of what?
Poverty. Poverty. Pot, which is here too, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly poverty, or if you have difficulties, if you report that you're having mental issues, just the lightest mental issue. People are afraid to go seek help on their mothers. The young Israeli women are very afraid of having their kids taken away. So if they go through a depression after birth, they definitely won't even tell anyone.
Oh God. That's horrible because, I mean, I don't have children, but, you know, I mean, we've heard about postpartum depression and all this, and you should be able to just get a counselor. Yeah, you know, because
and it's natural to be depressed.
It is because
it's
so much
a common
change.
Cold.
Right. Well, I mean, the hormones and everything after the baby comes, there's hormonal changes and the body is changing and it's a whole different lifestyle too for you and your husband. If you know, there's a lot, and so then they're to go because if they do, somebody may take their baby.
So if they're treating Israelis like that, it looks like the people that are in power there have really lost their soul. No, not to mention, people in Israel are hungry, poor, not just the Palestinians, it's everyone. Corporations, capitalism, took all the resources, who knows where, probably too. And we have another serious problem because of all that... I hear people are eating out of trash cans in the cities. Young girls are turning to prostitution. Whole high school rings of girls trying to help out at home.
Oh my God! That I mean.
Yeah.
But you know the I mean it's horrible enough that people are eating out of the trash. I mean just the whole idea. But then you think, okay. They're eating food that's been thrown away, and sometimes food is thrown away that's perfectly okay. But, you know, the longer something's in the garbage and on, I mean, so then they're taking risks with their health just eating that stuff. So they're already hungry and they eat something that's going to make them sick. That's just horrid. Speaking of food, I saw that more Palestinians in prisons have gone on strike.
Oh, yeah. I was reading about the prisons, and I was horrified till the bottom of my soul. 2x2 cells.
Yeah. That's
With rats.
I'm not sure if they're as bad as they are here, because I read, well, you know, Gitmo, a judge has just said that one of those prisoners in Gitmo, that they can use the tapes of the treatment, and a couple others are filing for that too, because what they do for these people who are on a hunger fast, you know, and they've been forcing them to eat, I mean, forcing the tubes down them, they...
Which is another violation of international law.
Exactly. And they drag them. If the guy won't get up out of his cell and walk, they forcefully take him in, slam him down, and they're not gentle when they stick that tube down them either.
I know. They're horrible.
Those are crimes. They're real crimes. And
I had the honor to meet a horrible young man a few years ago who told me he just came from Gitmo. And I was so angry. I kicked his ass in pool.
He
never win in pool, but I kicked his ass. I was so angry. Yeah.
I mean, he was a soldier or something.
Yeah, and I was getting on to him.
Guard?
I was harassing him. I was being mean to him.
Well, that's okay. It's like, you know.
I couldn't help it. Yeah, I find the people who work in those prisons are just mentally ill.
They have
prisons
to be.
Prisons don't work.
No. They have to be. If they aren't totally mentally ill when they go in, it won't take long. Well, they have a certain kind. Many of them are those bullies. You know, in this country, the U.S., we've been having a lot about kids being bullied in school. But, you know, because those bullies that bully and get by with it in school, they grow up to be bullies in adulthood. And they're perfect prison guards. That's what you want. You want nasty people who are cruel and who will do things or allow things to happen to the prisoners. I think that's just horrid.
Yeah, no, in IDF, a lot of the soldiers were crying, it seems. So I know a lot of people are very horrified by themselves after they do bad things and regret it, too. And they told me, IDF soldiers told me how they want to kill themselves a lot.
Well, now...
Because I used to live in Israel until I was 19, and a lot of my friends joined IDF, and... when they came home, they were crying and talking about suicide.
Right.
I wonder why. Now I know why.
Well, yeah, now you know. But I hope that, like, breaking the silence and all, I hope that makes some people think before they join up and go in. I hope they think about it. That's the redeeming grace of these people speaking out. It's like, well, this is what's going on, and we don't want you to have to go through this either. So, you know.
Exactly the point.
Yeah.
I hope it works.
The point for it. Yeah, me too. We're going to have to close, and we'll not be on next week. It is a holiday week.
Okay.
But
much more happening in Palestine besides that. If people checked, I'd be shocked.
Yeah,
we had murders and everything.
Just come to Sarit's page, or mine, but she'll have more on Palestine, and just see what is going on.
Oh, I share a few things every day, and I could share more, but I just clog everyone's feed.
I share a few every day, too. It's just so much. But you have a wonderful holiday weekend.
You too, sweetheart.
And
take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And George and chat, you have a wonderful week, holiday weekend, yeah? Our other visitors in chat. So, good night, and enjoy the early summer, everyone.